Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites bbc.co.uk and jazzaspensnowmass.org. Question number one. An annual music festival called the Proms is currently running in England. Which of the following, if any, is true about the Proms? Is it A, Proms is actually a shortened version of the word promenade? Is it B, this music festival has been held every single year since 1895? Is it C, the last day of this concert is a patriotic celebration of British culture? Is it D, the term promming refers to standing during the performances? Or is it E, all of the above are true statements about the Proms? The Proms, what is the truth anyway? And question number two, during the Prohibition years in the U.S., what was the term that was most popularly used for places that sold illegal alcohol? Was it A, a watering hole? Was it B, a speakeasy? Was it C, a bar? Or D, a tap house? Hint. This term also indicates something about how to best gain entry. A place that sold illegal alcohol? What was it most commonly called back then? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote unquote, is the weekend of August 29th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1922, you may remember, that the New Orleans Rhythm Kings recorded the song Tiger Rag. 1922, today. And it was 48 years ago today, 1977, that three people were arrested in Memphis after trying to steal Elvis's body. As a result, his body was moved to Graceland, a botched body snatch, today in 1977. George Harrison and Jeff Lynne's Zigzag introduces our jazz music news. It's how Laufey remade jazz for Gen Z. The Icelandic singer embraced retromania for the TikTok age, but her third album lets modernity enter her nostalgic soundscape. This is written by Kitty Empire. Observer.co.uk, 22 August 2025. TikTok has had one largely unexpected consequence for something so new. It has frequently idealized the old. Any number of artists have had their back catalog blow up after becoming the soundtrack to a viral dance routine or meme. Sometimes it has been a hit. Just as often it has been a deep cut. If the internet has warped pop's sense of time and genre, TikTok's blitzed what was left in a blender. Anachronisms have paradoxically ceased to be and become very now at the same time. The jazz pop singer Leve came up organically on platform during the pandemic. The Reykjavik raised classical musician luxuriates in the jazzy end of the Great American Songbook, combining bossa nova, string arrangements, and emotional themes from a more innocent age. Her quote-unquote old but new approach epitomizes a very 2020 state of mind. The hyper-modern embrace of retro stylings. Imagine a wardrobe full of court shoes, bows, and vintage dresses made into twinkly, swoopy pop. Taylor Swift is the only notable influence after circa 1965. Responses to Leve's first two albums have been mixed. For all the young women cherishing the respite offered by her classy mellowness, there have been those who find her bonbon sweet, cocktail hour, bubble, retrogressive, as well as retro. Leve's songs are mostly about flirting and yearning, pining and swooning. They are graceful and pretty, polished and pert, and polite jazz-like. But they are not merely all those things, and her songs, though still winsome, have increasingly spiky emotional timbres. This doesn't give due credit either to Leve's assurance as a conservatoire musician and graduate of Boston's Berklee College of Music, who can play cello and score strings. A Matter of Time, her third album, also messes with her formula, subtly, but just enough to present Leve as a shrewder and more timely musician than her first two albums suggest. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Put the 80s on your ears with these old school headphones with a high-res upgrade. Don't expect modern malarkey such as wireless audio or ANC. Gadhouse's new headphones are a blast from the past. This is published in T3.com. Tech Headphones by Kerry Marshall on the 25th of August, 2025. If you're looking for a set of retro-styled headphones without unnecessary fuss or features, Gadhouse may have the perfect pair for you. Its Wesley over-ears are so retro, you half expect to see a roller-skating Cliff Richard modeling them in a video. According to the brand, the over-ears are a nod to the era of mixtapes. And to stay true to that era, there's virtually nothing here that didn't exist in the 80s, bar the option to connect via USB-C. This is a new direction for Gadhouse. To date, its musical products have concentrated on affordable and often retro-inspired turntables, such as the Cosmo Solar. And I suspect it's going to appeal to a similar group of buyers who like classic looks at low prices. Gadhouse Wesley Headphones key features and pricing. The Wesley headphones look very much like the foam-tipped equivalents that we Walkman owners rocked back in the days of leg warmers and Level 42. However, the bits over your ears are larger, and the headband is considerably more robust. They're still very light, though. At 105 grams, they're a fraction of the weight of the average over-ears. These headphones are wired with three output options, 3.5 millimeter jack, 6.35 millimeter jack, and USB-C. And as a nice surprise, you get 48K hertz, lossless audio with a ladder connection. The cable also features an integrated microphone for calling and controls for playback. Gadhouse's marketing tends to focus on the way its products look rather than the way they sound, and that's the case here too. There are no details of the kind of drivers being used, nor the frequency range they handle. The Gadhouse Wesley headphones will launch in September 2025 with a price tag of about $79. K-pop group Girls Generation performing Goodbye Hello introduces our pop music news. It's titled As Golden Remains at Number One. K-pop Demon Hunters now has four songs in the Hot 100's top 10, a historic first for a soundtrack. This is written by Chris Willman in Variety magazine on August 26, 2025. Four songs from the same album in the top 10 simultaneously is the first time that this has happened for any soundtrack album in the history of the Hot 100. The song Golden remains at number one for a second week after finally having pushed out Alex Warren's Ordinary last week. It is now joined in the top 10 by the songs Your Idol, Soda Pop, and How It's Done from that same soundtrack album. Billboard also notes that the last time a soundtrack had three songs in the top five at once, the way the album for this Sony Pictures Animation production does, was when Saturday Night Fever pulled it off in 1978. Its strength may only increase on next week's charts by reflecting additional interest generated by theatrical sing-along screenings of K-pop Demon Hunters that took the Netflix movie to number one at the box office this past weekend. And this reflects the rising popularity of K-pop music from Korea to everyone in the world. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, an annual music festival called The Proms is currently running in England. Which of the following statements is true about the proms? Is it A, proms is actually a shortened version of the word promenade? Is it B, this music festival has been held every single year since 1895? Is it C, the last day of this concert is a patriotic celebration of British culture? Is it D, the term promming refers to standing during the performances? Or is it E, all of the above are true statements about the proms? And the correct answer is answer E. All of the above are true statements about the British Music Festival. As noted in an article published in bbc.co.uk titled Six Questions About the BBC Proms You Were Too Embarrassed to Ask. Each year, London's Royal Albert Hall welcomes thousands of classical music fans for the world-renowned BBC Proms Festival. The Proms is an annual 8-week festival that has taken place for more than a century. Each year, some of the best and most loved classical music is performed to large crowds by talented composers and musicians. But why is it called the Proms? How did it begin? And why is the last night such a big deal? The term proms is actually a shortened version of promenade concert, which refers to the festival's origins. A promenade concert was held in pleasure gardens, and audiences were encouraged to move around the venue during performances. These concerts had been taking place in London since the mid-18th century, and the proms were devised and named in their spirit, moving to indoor venues in the capital. When did it all start? The first proms was founded by businessman Robert Newman and held on 10 August 1895. Newman wanted to create a classical music concert that wasn't expensive and welcomed different types of people. Before launching the event, Newman enlisted the help of established composer Sir Henry Wood and made him the lead conductor of the concerts. Together, Newman and Wood organized the proms and made sure to include a delicate balance of popular music and more complex pieces. Wood conducted the proms from its launch right up until he died in 1944, the same year that marked the 50th anniversary of the festival. The original venue of the proms was Queen's Hall, near Regent Street in London. However, in 1941, that venue was bombed during World War II. Following the building's destruction, the proms were relocated to Royal Albert Hall, where the festival has taken place ever since. To make the event accessible, some of the seats at the concerts were removed so that they could sell cheaper standing tickets, known as proming, removing the expensive stigma from classical performances. To this day, proming tickets are still available in the hall's arena and gallery sections and are only sold on the day of the concert. So what's all the hype? The long history of the festival has turned the proms into an iconic part of British culture and has gained an international reputation for its high quality of music and accessibility to new audiences. Many people are attracted to the proms because of the relaxed atmosphere and mix of listeners it brings together. In the 1990s especially, there was such a demand for tickets in the hall that a concert was organized in London's Hyde Park, and 28,000 people attended. Proms in the Park has become a regular part of the festival program ever since its launch in 1996. Why is the last night such a big deal? Well, the last night of the proms is the most popular concert of the festival, as it not only marks an end to the 8-week event, but also because it allows audiences to patriotically celebrate British culture through music. Celebrations for the final performance usually take place across the country. The inclusion of patriotic music was a hit with the audience. The Proms returned to television in 1953. The conductor at the time encouraged the waving of flags and banners at the last night, a tradition that continues to this very day. What are the rules of etiquette for those attending? Well, to make the festival more accessible through the years, the Proms have removed many of the original strict attendance rules. For example, there's no longer a dress code, so tiaras and monocles can probably be left at home this year. However, one rule that continues to divide Proms fans is around clapping. Some have argued that the audience should be allowed to clap because it is a natural reaction and a sign of praise for the musicians. Meanwhile, others have claimed that clapping distracts the musicians and can interrupt a performance. So what is this thing called proming? Well, the popular tradition of proming, which is standing in the arena or gallery areas of the Royal Albert Hall, is central to the unique and informal atmosphere of the BBC Proms. Day proming tickets cost just £8, including all fees, and are bookable on the morning of each concert. The prim formalities associated with classical music are temporarily upturned. The audience is given the opportunity to, quote-unquote, join in by calling out, whistling, stamping, bobbing up and down, and generally participating. Two world wars couldn't stop the show from going on. It's an astonishing fact, but the Proms has never missed a year. Not during wartime, and not even fully during the 2020 COVID-19 lockdown. Finally, new music has always been at the front and center of the prom season. Some of the music's most loved pieces, like Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun, were given their first UK outings at the proms. And it's impossible to overstate how important the proms has always been to giving UK composers an audience. Some 220 new British works were performed in the first 25 years of the festival by composers whose names we now take for granted: Edward Elgar, Ralph Vaughan Williams, Arnold Bax. And that tradition of introducing British compositional talent remains. By the way, the 2025 Proms Festival started this July 15th and will run through September the 13th. And the answer to our second question, during the Prohibition years in the U.S., what was the term that was most popularly used for places that sold illegal alcohol? Was it A, a watering hole, B, a speakeasy, C, a bar, or D, a tap house? Hint, the term also indicates something about how to best gain entry. And the correct answer is answer B, a speakeasy. As noted on 7/29/2020 in a jazzaspensnowmass.org article titled Prohibition Era Jazz, The Rise of Speakeasies and Jazz Culture, the parties were bigger, the pace was faster, and the morals were looser, according to F. Scott Fitzgerald on Prohibition. While jazz music predated Prohibition, the new federal law restricting liquor advanced the future of jazz by creating a nationwide underground nightclub culture in the 1920s. Gangster-owned speakeasies replaced neighborhood saloons with mobsters such as Al and Ralph Capone of Chicago and Oney Madden of New York, vying for the best performers for their drink-swilling customers, advancing the careers of major jazz performers like Louis Armstrong, King Oliver, Duke Ellington, Fats Waller, and more. 6 months after Prohibition became law, women got the right to vote. Suffragettes were on the front line of the landmark battle, but flappers became the most visible heroines of the jazz age. The only grown women sporting short skirts and bobbed hair, flappers were easy to spot. They hung out in speakeasies and nightclubs where they danced the tango, the black bottom, and the biggest craze of all, the Charleston. With bare arms and legs a-flying, everyone blamed it on the music. An article in the August 1921 edition of the Ladies' Home Journal posed the question, does jazz put the sin in syncopation? Prohibition broke down old social barriers. In many New York speakeasies, rich people and ordinary folks rub shoulders. The illicit club culture promoted integration, leading to what were known as black and tan clubs with multiracial crowds, a trend nearly unprecedented for an age in America when segregation was not only the cultural norm, but a common government policy. It was the stock market crash of 1929 that signaled the end of the party for speakeasies. The Roaring Twenties came to a close in economic chaos, and the lighthearted atmosphere of the Prohibition era fizzled out. But the devotion of jazz shown by the Capone brothers and other business-minded mobsters during Prohibition not only benefited jazz greats like Armstrong, Ellington, and Waller, but with them the future of jazz as an enduring genre of American music. And by the way, the term speakeasy comes from the need to speak easily or quietly when trying to enter a place that sold illegal alcohol. So, let's close out today's program with some speakeasy jazz. Here's Joe Fingers, Webster, and the River City Jazzmen's 5'2" medley. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ANSI readingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.